My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours. Fundamental to the Christian faith is the idea that God Himself has ways of doing things and ways of thinking about things that are far, far, far above ours. Fundamental. In our new series, Wisdom for Life, we're going to explore those thoughts. We're going to explore those ways and probably discover that it is in contrast to the way that we typically approach our life. Everybody wants to make good decisions, right? Everybody is determined to focus on making good decisions about where I go after high school and what I do. If you're a high school graduate, you know that's your main question, right? People are saying, so what are you doing next? When I was graduating from high school, the main question is, where are you going to college? Now that's not the main question. The main question is, what are you going to do next? All kinds of options that have presented themselves. We try to figure out who we're going to date, who we're going to marry, whether or not, if, when we're going to have a family to raise, what's the best way to help my kids succeed, what are the choices, decisions, opportunities that I need to make available to my own children, how do I handle stress and pressure at work, at home, in the neighborhood, on my team, career, job, or vocation. Everyone's asking, what is the wise thing to do? What's the best way to do it? In fact, if you're on social media at all, you'll know that people's entire careers are advising everyone and anyone who will subscribe on how to be successful. All the tips, tricks, gear, gadgets, and gizmos to live your best life right now. In fact, it's so prominent, some of the funnier accounts, in my opinion, are the accounts who are teasing, mocking, exaggerating those accounts. It is prevalent for sure. But everyone's asking, what's the wisest thing to do? So now there's two most common answers to that question in our culture, and here they are. Follow your heart. That's one. Follow your heart. If your heart says go, go. If your heart says no, no. If your heart says yes, this, that, the other thing, you just follow your heart. That's one common answer. The other common answer, most common answer that we're hearing in our culture today is whatever makes you happy. That's so easy to decide. Here's what you do. Do what makes you happy. And some of you probably already know, if you would have used that advice to advise yourself on what to do when you were unhappy, you may have made some terrible decisions, left the kids at the three-way stop on the holiday travel. Why? I'm doing what makes me happy. And right now, this would make me happy. Or swapping your kids for someone else's kids when they come over and you're like, oh, I love these kids. Let's do a swap. That's what makes me happy. I'm doing it. Two most common answers. Here's what it is. Follow your heart. Just do what makes you happy. And it is the defining ethic of the 2020s, defining ethic of our culture, is that ethic right there. Express, here's what it means in sociology terms. Express your autonomous individuality. You are an individual. You get to say and do what you want for your own reasons and for your own glory, and you are autonomous, meaning nobody has any authority over you. You have complete free reign. You are autonomous individual. And here's the core idea, that you must look inside to find and to discover your authentic self. Your authentic self is in there somewhere, and you need to look in there in order to express it outwardly. And you do that regardless of what your culture is, regardless of what your tradition is, regardless of what your morals are in the culture that you live in, regardless of your biology or moral norms. You dig in, find out who you are, and you express it outwardly. And so to define your truth, you have to look in and discern your feelings. And your feelings decide and determine and define what your truth is, especially in matters of identity, in matters of gender, in matters of sexuality, that those feelings define your truth and who you are. But wisdom that God's given us is not just about navigating life. Wisdom is not just about learning to define your truth or how to avoid mistakes in our life. This is important. The wisdom God gives us is about how to live in tune with the Creator of the universe. The Creator has created, has decided and defined and designed us a specific way to live, and then He reveals that wisdom on how to live in tune with the Creator of the universe. And the Christian worldview, I appreciate this about the Christian worldview more than any other worldview, in my opinion. In my opinion, the Christian worldview defines better for us, answers life's biggest questions about our identity. Who are we? About our purpose. What are we supposed to be doing? About our origin. Where did we come from? About the human race's biggest problem. What's gone wrong? And also about the solution. Is there any real hope for humans to fix the problem that God has revealed to us? And also instructions. How then should we live? And then lastly, the future. Where are we going? The Christian faith deals with, very, very vividly, all those big questions. And this series here is going to lead us into exploring the instructions. How then should we live? If all these things are true, that God exists and He's created, He's designed and determined who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, what is it? And how do we do it? And how do we do it practically? The word proverb typically refers to a saying, and the saying is short and clever. Memorable, short, clever. There's some aspects of these short, clever sayings that kind of capture us or have a hook to them. And these things offer wisdom in some specific way. And what are the topics? Here's the topics. This will help you kind of get an overview. The topics in the book of Proverbs: speech and words, work and laziness, money and generosity, friendship and community, pride and humility, anger and self-control, marriage and sexual integrity, justice and righteousness, wealth and poverty, leadership, planning and decision-making, contentment and envy, temptation and sin. But the Bible is so irrelevant. Look how irrelevant it is. I mean, when that phrase trickles out of someone's mouth, the Bible is so ancient and irrelevant. I mean, instantly, that's an indicator. That person is unfamiliar with the Bible. Book of Proverbs, just scratching the surface on these topics, 13 to 26 of these everyday topics that you and I need wisdom for. And we're going to explore the source, and we're going to explore the goal, and we're going to explore the foundation of this kind of wisdom. And this series that we're doing is going to help disciples live skillfully and faithfully in our everyday relationships that we have with each other and the world around us. And by learning to apply God's wisdom, we're going to do that in the Proverbs, especially in light of the gospel. Now, on your way in, you hopefully saw there's a reading plan that will help you follow along and read these Proverbs together. And if you need it, this reading plan is also in a PDF format that we've made available to you. And there are some resources that we've made available to help you do a deep dive into the book of Proverbs as deep as you want to go. And it'll help you grow on your own in between Sundays while we're doing this. We have a website. You can find this if you are on our church app and you just kind of move those cards, swipe right to left. You'll eventually get to Grow. Grow will take you to this message series. And this message series has a whole website full of links to books and study guides, video series, devotion books, podcast series, and so on. And in particular, a starting point would be to start right here with this Bible Project Book of Proverbs overview and get all of the technicality on how the Book of Proverbs is laid out, why it was written, who wrote it, and the way that it's designed really as a literature, not just a book of pithy sayings. So, hope you take advantage of that. Here's our main idea today, that wisdom depends on trusting God, and it leads to life. And there's a contrast, and you'll see this in much of the book of Proverbs, there's a contrast. There's two ways to live. Wisdom depends on trusting God. There's the kind of person who trusts God, and it leads to life. But, in contrast, folly, or foolishness, starts with distrusting God, and it leads to death. So, simple little starting point is this. Wisdom has a source. We know that wisdom comes from somewhere. There's an author of the book of Proverbs who is Solomon. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. But Solomon didn't just think them up. He didn't get them by reading the world's books. He didn't get them because he lived a long life and then said, let me think about some of the things that helped me be successful. The author is not the source, right? Instead, he just wrote down what he was divinely inspired to write. The Holy Spirit's at work revealing God's wisdom to him, and he writes it down, and we have this book of Proverbs. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Solomon was given wisdom directly from the Creator of the universe. And as you can probably identify, no one is better suited to help you understand something than the person who created it. The original intention is infused in the Creator's craftsmanship. And his Proverbs aren't motivational quotes. They are divinely inspired truths. They come from the Creator of the universe. So wisdom and knowledge and understanding, all of that here, knowledge and understanding, the wisdom that God gives is about forming a way of life. Some of you remember growing up. In fact, I'd love to see who. How many of you, when you were learning about life, you were very quick to learn from other people's mistakes? Where are you? You looked at other people's mistakes and you said, nah, I'm not going to do that. All right? Everybody else? Raise your hand if you were that kind of person who was like, I know what I've been told. I get it, but I don't know if I believe it because I have to what? Experience it. Where are you people at? Raise them nice and high because we want to see who you are. You know what? I can actually tell who you are. I can look in your eyes and I can tell these people have been through it. Personally, I played it safe, and I learned a lot about the mistakes that my peers were making, and you know, and still consider that an easy, simple way to learn. And but really, whether you experience something to learn it or you learn it from someone else's experience, God has created his wisdom in order to help us form. This is so important. Form a way of life, not just have knowledge, not just to know stuff. It's supposed to form the choices we make, the decisions we make, the direction we go. And wisdom for life comes from God. And this is so important. And Paul's going to write this in Colossians. Listen to this. The wisdom that we need to form a way of life comes from God. It is not, see if this phrase resonates with you the way it does me. It's not just high-sounding nonsense. Have you come across any high-sounding nonsense recently? Have you come across, so many versions of it. I hate to even start listening. So many versions when you hear something, you go, huh, that sounds like a lot. Some people, now we're hearing this phrase, it's word salad, right? You know, there's another term for that that's already in the Bible, high-sounding nonsense. And I want to show it to you because this is helpful when we contrast the book of Proverbs to what we hear in our world and in among our society. Look what Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from where? From human thinking. Humans have thought this stuff up, and now they're spewing it, and they have audiences going, oh, this is so smart. I need the book and the subscription and the podcast and the thing. I need all the things because this is so incredible. And Paul is saying, be careful that you are not captured with these philosophies that are empty, full of high-sounding nonsense, because they only come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world that's working through human thinking, where rather than in contrast to coming from Christ. So we're in a battle for our thinking, and it's an intense battle for our thinking, and it's an unrelenting battle. But real wisdom doesn't come from the sources that are wheeling around us. Here's a quick wisdom wheel that most of us get our wisdom, or a lot of this high-sounding nonsense will come from our gut instinct, right? We're just impulsively kind of like following our appetites. And I don't know if any of you have regrets where you look back and go, I don't know why I did that. It could have just been you went with your gut instinct. You said what you said, you did what you did. Gut instinct led you to do that. And your heart motives, by the way, we know that our heart motives can't be trusted, right? The prophet Jeremiah is speaking to Israel and he says, look, you need to know something about your heart. What does he say? It is wicked. It's desperately, it's full of wickedness. It's evil. Then God comes and regenerates our heart and we learn over time to leave the old man and kind of become the new man and be sanctified in the way we think, and the attitudes and motives of our heart have a fresh start. But it's a long journey, a lifetime of trying to listen to the Spirit instead of trusting our hearts, which oftentimes are selfish in their motives. And then we are surrounded by friends and family. So a lot of us here are taking and learning from friends and family. And we do what our family has always done. We do what our friends tell us or what they expect of us. And remember, Proverbs says that your friends have the power to corrupt good character. You hang around good friends and you make wise decisions. Hang around foolish friends, make foolish decisions. And then we have social media. Hey guys, what do you think? Here's what I'm facing. Let me know. Comment in the bottom. And you can imagine that just the wild contradiction of answers that are complete opposites as you field everybody's opinions and comments, opposing and contradictory answers. And that which everyone else is doing might be the quickest path to despair. Just do what everyone else is doing. And then there's, of course, we've got my culture. My culture has standards. My culture has expectations. My culture has values and morals. And here's the problem. Our culture is changing every 5 to 10 years, rapidly changing, flipping upside down every 5 to 10 years. And in fact, in the book of Ephesians, Paul refers to even doctrines become like winds of doctrine. And every new idea that shows up, we're getting confronted with. And then, of course, academia. Academia is constantly bombarding us with moral relativism and secular humanism and naturalism at best, and at worst, paganistic kind of anti-Christ evil thinking at worst. And that's always there. And the only unanimously accepted source for most of our culture is this, that whatever you're hearing, thinking, discerning, and believing from within, trust it. We just mentioned that. Trust that. That's your true self. Whatever you're feeling, that's who you are. And your feelings are driving you. Your feelings aren't just driving you. Have anybody noticed that your feelings are not just driving you, they're also lying to you? They do both. Your feelings tell you at the buffet you need another plate. That's what they tell you. And they're bold-faced lying to you. I would feel better if I filled this up again. Lie. So many ways our feelings are lying to us. And the reason is because it's coming from within. Self-idolizing. Truth-denying. Emotionally driven, expressive individualism. And so we have to watch for all of these in order to explore and live by God's wisdom. To be shaped by God, we have to identify what isn't God's thoughts. High-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and at worst are coming from spiritual powers that overcome and overwhelm. And then eventually we end up with this anti-God wisdom that shapes and defines our lives. So ask yourself, and here's a reasonable question to ask yourself right here at the beginning of this series. Ask yourself this question. Who or what am I letting influence my thinking? Are you feeding on and nourishing yourself with God's wisdom? Or are you susceptible to the winds of doctrine, any modern idea, any opinion that is blowing around in the wind? Or are you and end up just recycling what the world is saying? This week we were surprised in our house by Alexa. Alexa from Amazon, we have that device, and she notified us that she could be updated. And I thought, this should be fun. Let's see what happens. And I told Alexa, I gave you permission, update yourself. And it worked out so terrific. I looked at my wife and I was like, sweetie, this is going to sound weird, but update yourself. Just see what happens. So Alexa updates herself, and here's where she does whatever she does, and then she says, I now have 4 options for a voice. And so I was like, oh my gosh, the last thing I need is to make another decision that doesn't even matter. But my wife was thrilled at the idea that you get to pick which voice. And so Raquel says, Alexa, demonstrate your voices. So Alexa says, here's a cheery, winsome voice, and gives us this new voice. Then she says, and I also have whatever this voice is. And eventually she says, I have a grounded voice. And then Raquel was like, what do you think? I was like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care what Alexa sounds like. I'm just happy she's updating herself. That's all I need. So then Raquel has Alexa go through examples of her new voice and eventually settled on the grounded voice. You're wondering, what is that? You have to experience it to really understand what the grounded voice is. And Raquel gave it significant thought. A lot of thought went into which voice are we going to select. She needed to play and replay the voices over and over to choose. And in a lot of ways, this is what we're learning in the book of Proverbs, that your life has a voice. Think of your life as you've got a life GPS. And your life GPS, Google Maps, Apple Maps, Waze, some other ones that are used, there's a voice, a GPS that's leading your life. And most of us, I know this is hard to believe, most of us have spent more time deciding which Alexa voice we're going to be listening to or which GPS app we're going to be using than we do asking, which voice of wisdom am I open to speaking into my life? Who am I listening to? Who's directing me? Who's guiding me? Which principles of life are giving me direction and helping me decide things? I was an Apple Maps guy for a long time until there was a pattern of Apple Maps disasters, as much as I hate to say it. I would call it Crapple Maps. I've had much better luck with Google Maps. And it was just as easy as this to switch. Change. New direction. It's not that easy to change our source of wisdom. Because of all these things that are drowning us and inundating us, and we're taken on water. And here's what I want to ask you to consider. Which voice have you decided in your heart? Which voice, the source, what is the source of your incoming, of your direction? Give it more significant thought than Alexa and Siri and your Maps app. And I want to ask you to consider this. We'll talk about this probably over the course of the series, but I want to ask you to consider fundamentally, and of course, I just want you to consider rejecting the fundamental wisdom of follow your heart, do what makes you happy. And in the course of the series, we're going to talk about why, but those two fundamentals have to be considered instantly. So wisdom also has a goal. Wisdom has a goal. The purpose of wisdom, these proverbs, is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. And so these verses describe the practical outcomes of God's wisdom for our life and learning to live a life of discipline and success and good judgment. And this also means that both young people and the already wise are expected to learn and grow even wiser. With God, you never get to the point where you're like, I kind of know everything I need to know. Now it's time to stop learning and just start telling. We're always in a learn mode of life, whether young or whether you've been around a long time. And so what this means is to become a person of integrity. God's goal for your life isn't just that you'd know more, it's that you'd become more. Imagine that. Our life's experience, as God has designed us, is not for us to collect things that we know. The book of Proverbs doesn't just help us pack away and index knowledge. It's supposed to shape who we are, not just what we know. And that means it leads us into being more fair. It leads us into being more discerning. It leads us into being more teachable over time. Wisdom shapes your character, not just the decisions you make. It shapes who you are, not just what you do. The wisdom of God shapes the kind of person that you become. Here's a good question. What does God want me to do? We put it on a bracelet for 30 years or more, right? What would Jesus do? Does anyone still need a bracelet? Because I'm selling them. If you need one, I got it. Here's a better question than what does God want me to do? Who does God want me to become? And if you're young and you've got goals and you've got vision and you've got some things that you want to accomplish in your life, remember, all that you're experiencing is not just God trying to get you to do something. It is God teaching you who He wants you to be. Become somebody. No matter what you're doing, you can become who God wants you to become. So wisdom has to start with humility, and you're asking yourself, am I willing to be shaped? Even if God makes me uncomfortable, is He shaping me? Am I willing to be shaped? Am I willing to grow in my teachability? Is the challenges that I'm facing, did God bring me to those challenges because there's something He's wanting me to do, or is it because He's trying to shape who I am? Especially my depth of humility. Have you been resisting correction? Resenting correction? Or do you welcome it? Because it's the fundamentals of wisdom. It starts with humble reverence. The fundamentals of wisdom start with humble surrender. And we'll see this, that wisdom has a foundation, and the foundation of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. This is key to the entire book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord. Now, this isn't the kind of fear where you're afraid that the Lord is going to snap you off the planet, or He's going to crush you, or He's going to somehow pour out His wrath on you. It's not fear of punishment. It's a reverence. It's an awe. It's a breathtaking awe. If you've ever been to the Niagara Falls and you can get close enough to feel it and get the spray, and to hear the sounds of it thundering over the ledge, you have a reverent awe of it. You recognize its power. You recognize that at any given second, it could end somebody's life. But there's so much force that you find yourself yielding to it, right? Hopefully you find yourself yielding to it, because this kind of fear is a posture of surrender and respect. So you can't build a wise life on a prideful heart. You can only build a wise life on a humble heart. My human instincts are selfish. They're for me. What I want, the way I want, for my own glory. I don't know what's best, nor do I exist for my own glory. To fear the Lord is recognizing that He is holy. It's recognizing that He is good. It's recognizing that He alone is supremely wise, that He alone is in charge sovereignly. The autonomy that I think I have is a bit of a myth, because God alone is over all things, including me and my life. And then when I recognize that, I submit to that. And that's how I become who He is designing me to become. But fools, they reject that. The fools are saying, I'm doing it my way, for myself, for my own glory. I can't be taught or learned anything from God. I don't want to surrender because I have an autonomous self-reliance. And the book of Proverbs says, fool, that's folly. That is the path to destroying your own life. But the wise embrace, and the wise surrender to God's authority with joy. There's this incredible scene in the latest season of The Chosen where Judas is pressing back. Jesus says, here's the plan. And Judas says, that's a terrible plan. Terrible plan. And Jesus is like, this is the plan. And he's like, this is not going to help us accomplish our goals of unifying the people of Israel and getting you to the throne to be the king. And Jesus says something to Judas like, let me get this straight, Judas. You're telling me that your way is better than my way? My translation, you epic dum-dum. You are a dum-dum. And Judas is so distraught, saying, but this is, your plan isn't working. It's failing. And I watch Judas and I go, you, how can you do this? Look how foolish you are. And then, in just a moment of honest reflection, I think to myself, Dan, you do this day after day after day, you do this. My way's better. God, your way, good for some, probably a little more difficult, working out for other people. I'm kind of doing my thing, my way. And I'm going to say the right things, but in my heart, I am not submitting. Foolish. Judas is a fool. It's going to lead to his death. In our own way, we're pressing back with our decisions and our attitudes and our values, and we're saying, God, I am going to do this my way. It got Adam and Eve the same treatment, far from God. Judas ends up as far away from God as you can be in the end, just simply by being unwilling to submit to the foundation of true knowledge, the foundation of God's wisdom, which is fear of the Lord. I give in. I give it over. It's yours. I'm doing things your way instead of my way. Now, if you're living by your own wisdom, this is a great counselor line. How is that working for you? It's a great line. How's it working for you? Probably time to let go of your control of a particular area of your life. You know what that area might be. God might help you identify what area that you need to let go of, and you need to throw yourself into God's wisdom instead of trusting and depending on your own. You might have to redefine the word happy in your life and go with God's definition instead of your definition. It's possible that you need to let go of control of how marriage is supposed to work, or how parenting is supposed to work, or where you've placed your hope, or what is generosity, what's hospitality. You may need to let go of control over defining that for yourself. And there's likely decisions that you're making, that we're making here in our lifestyles on a daily basis, that we're making without consulting God, the creator of the universe. Career decisions, business decisions, parenting decisions, marriage decisions, decisions of value and vocation in my life, identity decisions. To fear the Lord is to say this: God in heaven, I trust you more than I trust myself. I trust you more than I trust myself. Now, lastly, wisdom is a person. This is the most important thing. If you have taken an off-ramp and you find yourself resting your eyes, now's the time to get back on the listening highway. You ready? God's wisdom is a person. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts, your thoughts. What does that mean? Well, there's an example of what that means. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 1:30, God has united you with Christ Jesus. Okay, so for people who have rested their confident assurance, their trust in Jesus, he's united you with Jesus. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. What in the world does that mean? Is God going to help me figure out what to do with my life after high school? Is Jesus himself going to take the tests for my certification at work so I can... What does it mean that Jesus is the wisdom of God? God's way is to give special position in honor only to his son Jesus, no one else. He's made him to be everything to us. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is our justification. Jesus is our righteousness, and he's our sanctification. Jesus himself is our redemption. And if a person is looking for those things, I want to be right with God. I want to live more free. free from sin and all the things that just destroy my life. I want to live wisely and full of right relationship with people. If I'm looking for these things, they are found only in Jesus. And here's what that means: status, purity, meaning, freedom, they're in Jesus alone. They're not outside of Jesus. But without exception, the ways of human beings call for human effort and good deeds and wise words and intellectual assent. Just keep learning and knowing, even if it sounds like high nonsense. Just keep on learning it and ingesting it. That's your path of salvation. Well, what does that even mean? If God's way is to exalt and glorify Jesus, a wise man will follow God's way, humble himself before a crucified Savior, renounce any reliance on worldly assets, and boast of the Lord alone. That is true wisdom. All I have, all I hope in, and all I need is Jesus. It's the wisdom of God in a person. And true wisdom of God is that his free and abundant pardon. Now, I want to stop with the word pardon, right? Pardon for your sins, right? I'm selfish, prideful, I live for myself, I do my own thing, self-reliant, separated from God because of I miss the mark of holiness and God's standard of righteousness. I miss it, so I'm sinful, I'm separated from God. And through Jesus, he says, there's a wage for sin, but through Jesus, I'm going to accept Jesus' death in place of yours. The wages of sin is death. Jesus' death counts for mine. How? Because of my resting my trust in Jesus. So there's a pardon, but that pardon is available. And it's available to all who seek the Lord while he is able to be found, to all that call on him and believe and receive as the Spirit gives you the ability to do that. And that means that his complete and eternal acceptance of a repentant sinner who calls on God to be saved is completely alien to worldly wisdom. That means that it's completely alien to worldly ways and thoughts that human beings have. And this is the method of God, his wisdom, the power of the gospel. By using such methods, God is overthrowing one of the false standards of the world. Watch this. For example, the notion that those who matter to him are wise. Those who matter to him are well-bred, they're articulate, they're gifted, they're wealthy, they're wielders of power and influence. Rather than relying on society's usual power players like the wealthy, the educated, the influential, God accepts, get this, the humble, the broken, and the overlooked. And that is a direct challenge that God makes, that someone needs to be impressive to matter to God. A direct challenge. That's the wisdom of God in Jesus. So, in essence, you don't become wise by trying harder. You become wise by surrendering to Jesus. The wisdom of God. Not trying harder. Not becoming more successful, more wealthy. Achieving more status. Succeeding and achieving more. That's not how God approves you. The wisdom of God is in Jesus. It's an example of accepting and receiving all those who are marginalized, broken, humble of heart. Surrendering to Jesus as is his apprentice is the wisest decision you'll ever make. Surrendering to him as your rescuing Savior and King is the wisest thing that you can do. So what do you do now? I want to ask you to consider this. Take one step. One step this week to submit an area of your life to God's wisdom. One step, one area of your life that needs God's wisdom, and right now you're not too sure you're listening to God's wisdom and taking that to heart. You're kind of maybe doing your own thing your own way for your own reasons. Hey, think about it. Think about your relationships. One thing. Some of you have resisted for maybe a long period of time forgiveness, and it's become resentment. Maybe your decisions about the future. What do I want to do? Where do I want to go? What's next for me? What does God think? What's his opinion? Have you sought the wisdom of God for your own future? Your private thought life. One thing, one area. God, what do you think about my private thought life? God, how do we move forward becoming who you want me to be right in my mind? Your marriage, your children, your family, your parenting, your work, all of those things can be handed to God and say, this is the area, this is the one thing. I am going to take one step this week to submit an area of my life to your wisdom. And it might start with this. Here's a very practical way you could do this. Every day, you write this down somewhere, you notify yourself somehow, ask the new and improved Alexa to give you a reminder every day in her grounded voice. Lord, teach me to fear you. Teach me to fear you. Help me to trust your wisdom more than mine every day. Teach me to fear you. Right now, I fear my boss, I fear my spouse, I fear my kids, I fear my customers. I fear the board. I fear my neighbors. I fear my friends, teammates, classmates. I fear them. I fear their opinion of me. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I belong to God and His wisdom is in Jesus. Lord, teach me to fear you alone. Help me to trust your wisdom more than my own. And for some of you, for some of you, that's not your starting point. Your starting point is somewhere different. I'm transferring my confident assurance and trust from my work to win God's approval to the work of Jesus. I no longer trust myself to win God's approval and justify myself. I only forever trust Jesus. And you start there. Less of a lifestyle idea and more of a autonomy idea. I surrender my autonomy to God, creator of heaven, to rescue me and save me from my own sin. Would you bow your heads with me and pray together? Father, we pray that this morning that what is happening in our hearts is more than words from the platform, from the preacher. We pray that your truth resonates, is active and alive, and that there are parts of what you have shared today from your word that we need. Refresh, redeem, renew. I pray that you bring something to mind, one thing, one area that can be turned over to you that hasn't been turned over to you yet. It's still our thing. We're still the experts. And today, out of fear, reverence, awe, and trust, we turn that one thing over to you. What do you say? What's your wisdom? I pray that you'd help it to happen. It would come alive, especially those who have not yet turned their own trust over to you. They still trust in themselves, their work, their tradition, maybe their religious family, their good works, their good morality, their good intentions. And today I pray that you'd help them to come to terms with that can be renounced. And instead, rest their confident assurance in Jesus alone. And by that, we anticipate that they would be regenerated, a new heart, made one with Jesus, righteous in your sight, redeemed forever, rejoicing in heaven for eternity with all of the inheritance that you've promised. We ask you to do it today by the work of your Spirit, and we trust you. Treasure Jesus together. We pray in His powerful name. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing about the trust that we can have in the words of God representing who God is.